For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Bam! Welcome to Jason Waller Unleashed, and we are about to drop the episode with Kendra Lust. That's right. She is a famous adult star. She now has her own podcast with the MMA that she's doing things. She is truly out there building it up and showing how life can be mystique, sexy, and cool at the same time. Check it out.
I have got a special guest today. We've got some mutual friends. A lot of you folks know who she is. You've seen her on TV. She is as hot as it gets for a MILF. She's a former porn star, podcast host, entrepreneur, actress, director, webcam model, and she is changing the game in the future, involved in podcasting and anything else that she can help do with cryptocurrency. We talked a little bit about NFT. How are you doing, Kendra Lust?
I'm doing really well. I'm getting amped up, leaving for Florida on Saturday, so spring break is going to be fun. So I'm excited. It's a good day. I don't know. In Michigan, it's okay today. It was like freezing rain. I woke up this morning. I'm like, this really happened. But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, we were just sidebarring before we started, and me being in Michigan for a few years, and I said, oh, I missed some of it. You're like, no, you don't. Because, no, in May in Michigan, and right now it's March, it may snow and it may not. Would you agree?
Yes.
Like that's the weather there.
It's true. You never get too excited, because if you have a couple nice days, it's like, okay, cool. Like, I dig it, but no expectations, no disappointments.
Now, have you always grew up, is that where you're from, Michigan?
Yes, born and raised. All my family's here. I got to go down. I like to be grounded a little bit. Much better. So, born and raised, and I'm kind of stuck here. I mean, I could move, right? But
yeah,
I have a lot of family ties here, and a lot of people depend on me. So I'm here, and it's cool.
I think the people of Michigan are some of the best people I've ever met. My old man's from Ferndale, so I'm a big diehard Detroit everything fan. So we moved there for 3 years. I loved it. Weather's horrible. But let's talk about your childhood in Michigan growing up. I mean, what kind of molded you to get into the career that you've decided to really propel yourself? What changed? What dynamic was it? You wanted to get out of Detroit? What kind of things came up in your childhood to do that?
You know, I mean, when people think of like childhoods, they always think of, you know, people who go into this taboo type of industry. Oh, they must have been assaulted. Oh, it was so traumatic, like drugs. You know, you just think of the worst, and you put everyone in, you know, this space, you know, where, okay, this person must have had this type of childhood. So I think we stereotype people or judge people based on, you know, what they do or why they do it. And for me, I had a really normal, so to speak, childhood. I mean, there was no abuse in the family. It was just normal. Like, I had lower class family, and I went to school. I mean, I had friends. I played sports. And I don't know, I just felt like I was always maybe a little bit more, I don't know, not risque, but I was always, I felt, I don't know, like, I can't explain how I felt, but I was pretty confident, like, in who I was. So, and I wasn't ashamed of, like, my sexuality or just kind of being me. So while I was nursing, I went on to school, blah, 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 to get a nursing degree. And
I saw that. Yeah. You went to the University of Michigan, right?
Well, no. But that's, no, go blue for sure. I love Michigan. My grandpa went there. He played football there many years ago. And my uncle went there. However, I went to Wayne State. I did community college just because I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. So after my nursing degree, I practiced as a nurse, and I worked for about 8 years, and I really liked it. And I really loved it. However, there were some things kind of that happened within my family, like my sister and just my dad, and kind of the shit hit the fan, so to speak. And I was like, okay, I need to make help my family, you know, not lose their house and not, you know, like kids need Christmas presents. And, you know, so there was a lot of things that were happening. So I don't know, maybe that's just who I am. And I'm like, oh, I already kind of like, you know, being risque. So I started webcamming and making money. And I don't know, then it just kind of was like, and we're off, like it is what it is. So yeah, it's
crazy. Webcamming, let's talk about it. Webcamming now is huge, much larger than it used to be. Talk about that. I mean, that industry is completely taken off.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, then, I mean, webcamming was just, I think it was newer, at least it was newer to me. So I didn't really know a lot about it. I had someone reach out via, like, I think it was like, maybe, I don't even know if it was Instagram wasn't there. It was like Twitter. And said, you know, maybe you should do like, you know, a webcam or like a sexy photo shoot, whatever. So I was on this platform and I kind of watched, you know, what some of the other girls were doing and learned how to, you know, make money on webcam. And the nice thing about it is you could block like certain states. So my mom lived in Florida at that time. And then, you know, I have family here. So I was like blocking states, you know, just naive, not knowing that eventually, right? It, all your goodies are out there and there's no turning back, right? You've come to the dark side, you know?
Yeah. Everybody's guilty of some of the dark side. So trust me, the judgment-free zone here.
Thank you.
Everybody's, absolutely. But I want some of the folks out there to understand, like when you got into it, you were one of the OGs on the webcam. Like you were, there wasn't a lot of webcam stars, and now they have the, I think it's called like Only You pages, right?
I don't even know. Like,
that's the newest trend though. It's like Only or Only Fans or something. I forgot what
it's
called.
Only Fans. That's more, that is what they do use it for, webcamming. However, that is more like a subscription site. So it's really cool. And I love that.
Like reoccurring revenue, right? It's a platform to go ahead.
And you can do whatever you want to do on there, obviously within the guidelines, but it's really nice because you can do any type of production that you want and you own it. So I like that. You know, you can do what you want.
Well, that's what I want to get into is Lust Army. Talk about the mission of the Lust Army Productions Company, because that's next level. You were moving up and now you are going ahead and running the show. What's that like?
Okay, so when I started, I was naive, did not know anyone in the industry. I'm a Michigan girl staying in the wrong part of town, getting like, you know, people trying to, you know, take more of a commission. I mean, it was, you know, I really was taken advantage of early on. I mean, probably not as much as I think some of the younger girls. However, you know, you just don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. Right. So as I learned a little bit about the business, I became more interested in like the production side. And I was like, okay, I enjoy, you know, working behind the camera, or excuse me, in front of the camera, but I want to know what it's like behind. I want to be able to produce something like my vision, and I wanted it to be empowering for women and just do something different, you know, kind of like add something to the resume and just kind of see how I liked it. So I developed or started this production company, and I really did like the idea of it. So I did it for a few years. However, I realized, you know, I was not the best director or producer because I was just kind of like off in La La Land watching the scenes. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to really be in there. And like, oh my God, you can't be both, like, you know. And then, you know, as I, you know, I did it for a few years, you realize that, you know, DVD is kind of dead, right? It started dying out. Yeah. So it really, there wasn't a reason for me to continue. However, it was really cool to do it, at least to say, hey, you know, I did it. And I was grateful for the experience, but I know I'm not the best director. You know, I'm more hands on inside. You don't want to be in it.
No, I respect that, you know, where the tendencies are of greatness. And it takes somebody who has humility to say, I can do this great, I can't do that great. And
no.
I love that you want to empower women, right? I'm a dad of three daughters.
Aww.
And it's really about, it's really about women. I have a son too, he's 11, but my daughters are the oldest. And it's about, you know, this is a world where I think still to this day, women are held down. Women are not paid the same.
No.
And I had this deep discussion back when Clubhouse was popping. I don't know if you've been on Clubhouse,
but
it was popping.
Yeah.
And now to me, it's not popping. Mm-hmm. So I'm not on there. But we had this discussion and something came up, and I want your opinion on it, is, you know, they were talking about women in high level jobs, whether they own a business, whether in the C-suite, whether they're an executive, however, whatever the position is, that there's not enough women to do that. And my take was this. if I'm trying to hire a vice president, and I've got a successful company with over 2,000 employees, and I would love to have more females and more minorities on the team. But one of the things that happened, in my opinion, I'd like your opinion, is men are full of shit, right? So if men see an ad and they're like, oh, I'm not that qualified, but I can go in and wing it, they'll apply for the job and interview for the job. Where women are like, hold on, I don't have all those, I'm not going to apply for it. They're more reserved and they don't, and they miss the fucking opportunity. Would you agree?
I do agree. I think that maybe it is just because it's been a man's world for so long that if these are the qualifications and I only meet 80%, I am not going to do the company or myself a disservice and apply because technically I'm not really qualified, where men believe their own bullshit a lot of times.
Right. Agree. I agreed.
But you know, it's not a bad thing. And I'm not downing men for that. Like they just, I think sometimes their confidence. And the thing is, sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. So, you know, I'm not downing men. I mean, you take an opportunity. If you are offered or you have an opportunity in front of you and you don't know everything, that's okay. Because I would rather take that opportunity than like miss the opportunity. Okay. And I'll learn as I go. I'll work like twice as hard to like make sure that I'm qualified. Yeah. But I think you're right though. You're right.
Yeah. I think, and look, and I tell my girls, they're bosses. Like my 23-year-old, I feel bad for my future ex-son-in-law. They're engaged.
Oh, gosh.
And I say future ex, right? Because I don't know if they're going to work out.
It's okay.
So I'm always busting his chops. But she's a bully. She's like, Alex, do this. Alex, do that. And I wouldn't want it any other way.
Sure.
Like as a dad of girls, you're like, I want you to run the show. I don't want you to depend on a man. This isn't a man's world. This is anybody's world. And I'm a big believer of if more women were to step out and take that chance, bet on themselves, have the confidence. Yeah. Right.
Sure.
Then when I interview, if I interview 10 people and I'm a sales guy, if I interview 10 females and 10 males for a sales position, 8 of those females are totally qualified and could crush it. 3 of the men. But I can't get 10 to interview. I get 2.
Sure.
That's what usually happens is the numbers. Because I think women, especially in the sales industry or in most any industry, people trust them more. Right. You agree?
I would agree. I like how you ended that. Wouldn't you agree? That's a nice always be closing. I like that.
Yeah, you see, ABC, you get it. You get it. You can close. I can tell you're a salesperson.
No.
You can close a few deals.
Know.
Oh, naturally, I can tell. I can tell the whole dynamic. It depends on,
in all honesty, though, like if I have conviction in what I'm saying or believing. Like I couldn't sell furniture for shit. Like I was terrible. Oh, no. I mean, I was in college and I'm like, oh my God, this is just too, like, I felt guilty. I'm like, I cannot sell these people furniture like this. I know it's going to go on sale. Like, I don't want to. So I was terrible. I didn't last very long, you know, at that. I was just like, yeah, I'm just not cut out for this. However, you know, as far as, you know, a talent agency, you know, that I owned and, you know, recruited girls, you know, that type of thing. I'm like, you know what? I knew it was because I was telling the truth, right? You know, so.
Well, and you're passionate about what you do, regardless of what anybody does. If you're passionate about something and you believe it, then other people believe in you. And you touched on something. You said you were very confident, right? And I give credit to you because a woman who is confident, if she's a 7, but she has confidence, she's a 9.
Yes.
And if she's a 9 and she lacks confidence, she goes to like a 5 or 6.
Yes.
And we have to have more people with confidence. I don't have a problem with people being risque or sharing sexuality.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. I get it. I'm all in,
yeah,
right? All in.
Right?
Totally get it. You know, I think I'm pretty hot. I'm a gilf, right? A grandpa.
Because
I got 2 grandkids, right? So the young grandpa.
Hip grandpa.
So that's right. A hip grandpa. So I like to feel confident when I walk into a room. I want to own the room. I might not be the best looking. I might not be the richest. I might not be the biggest, the fastest. But when I walk in, I am the alpha. I exuberate confidence. And I try to tell people, especially females, it's so important because if you break and you're insecure, the qualities, even whether you're hiring somebody, you want to date somebody, you have a relationship with somebody, it's the biggest turnoff and you lose points, right?
You know, you're right. And I always, you know, I love like we're really on the same page because I say that line all the time, except when I say a 7 with confidence takes them to a 10 because that's how much like it is. I feel it is important. You know, in the industry, I'm looking at all these girls and I'm like, oh my gosh, like they're so beautiful. They got all this beautiful, like, you know, I learned as I went how to maintain.
Great features, yeah,
or wow.
Hey, the show's not PG-13. You can
okay,
say what you
yeah,
want.
But
say
I like, yeah, yeah, I try yeah. not to like
yeah, you're good.
Too much unless I'm mad or like, you know, in the bedroom. So yeah, so I'm like, oh my gosh, all these girls, and they're just like, oh, they've got all this time to like get this luxurious hair and these, oh, and these, you know, and I'm like, and here I am, this Michigan girl, I'm looking so tired. Like, you know, like when I first entered, so I was like, damn, but you know what? I knew, and I still know, and I'll never believe, like, I'm confident, but I'm never going to be the prettiest. I'm never going to have the best body, but you know what I do have? I have confidence in the bedroom. I have fun. I'm nice to everyone, right? And I'm professional. So you know what? I get hired back more so than the girls that are difficult to deal with. I'm not a diva on set. Like, I don't need much water, lady products. I'm good. Let's throw down. Like, it's time to work. So, you know, so I think a lot of time, like, your enthusiasm, right, and your confidence are very important
yeah.
in everything, every aspect of life. I don't care what you do. Do it with yeah. passion.
A passion and confidence.
Yeah.
I agree. I mean, that's the difference, I think, that we're lacking with social media, right? Some people... It hurts younger generation, especially generation, especially females. My daughters have been through
yeah.
it too. Like, they're looking at girls with these perfect bodies, editing the photos. I'm like, listen, everybody has their own shit. And I believe God gives everybody 100 attributes, right? So maybe you get 30 of them towards your looks and 40 of them towards your brains and 20 of them towards your personality and 10 towards sympathy. Like, I have zero sympathy or empathy. I suck at that. Like, God forgot to give me that. But I'm like, I'm a fucking fighter. I'm not taking no for an answer. We're going to war.
Sure.
I'm ripping ears off to make sure we win.
Yeah.
Like, I have that quality, and everybody's different. And so when I see somebody who's amazingly beautiful, there's always something lacking. When then you find someone overly great and intelligent, maybe they're not as beautiful, but if you look and you blend everything to an overall grade, most people are equal. It's just the dynamics of how they were made. That's my opinion. It's like a video game. You take 100 attributes and you pick what they get. That's what I truly believe, that everybody has gifts and everybody has what's going to propel them in life.
Gosh, we're not making this interesting because I'm on the same page, but I do agree. And I think sometimes too, when just people in general are base everything on aesthetics, right? Or how somebody looks, or even their bank account. Okay. You know, their success is measured by many different things, and they mean something different to many different people. I feel that, you know, when you walk into a room, it really shouldn't be about, you know, about how you look. I mean, it's more, I guess, what you can learn from that person. Yeah, maybe that girl or that guy is, you know, 10 times more successful and more beautiful. However, maybe they, you know, again, they have their own issues. You don't know where they came from, what they're dealing with. So we all have our own shit, and we can all kind of learn from each other. I just think we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And a lot of times we don't, you know, because we're just stuck in this, you know, oh, this person's better. Like, who gives a shit? At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, you know? So.
Agreed. No, very well said. I think guys with six packs are douchebags. That's just an opinion of mine.
Oh my God.
Because, and listen, why? Hold on. Maybe you agree or disagree. But I'm always on record. The guy that my ex trainer actually works for the company, he's over training.
Okay.
And he's got like this perfect six pack. He's probably the exception to the rule.
Damn.
But I always say, if somebody has that much time to work on themselves, then the rest of their shit's not going well. That's just my opinion. Because, like, I have a pool bod, right? If from here up, it's like, oh, damn. And then I got, it's like, oh, he's a dad or a grandpa, right? That to me is normal. So when I get, that I hear shit from like my trainer or whatever, maybe you want to get a six pack. I'm like, I ain't got time for that shit.
No, you, a six pack, and I'm going to agree. Six, I wouldn't say they're douchebags. You know, they just invest in, some people are just genetically.
Not
okay.
all. I'm just saying
okay.
they're so stuck on themselves. They're not worried about the other parts in life.
Yes, right? So, yeah, I know. Or the guys in the mirror, like, I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, I do not like all of those. I mean, if you're like a professional bodybuilder or a model, like whatever.
That's different.
It's different. But if, you know, like, I don't know. I agree. I can't stand it. It drives me crazy at the end of the day. So, gosh, now I'm losing my train of thought as I'm thinking about these people. You want me to train you, baby? Or it's like, okay. Yeah, it's overrated. You know, life's about balance.
Do you do training?
I do. So I fell off, I would say, since October. I was in this, like, just this crappy space. I don't know if it was the winter, like, as you know, fall's approaching and, you know, the holidays. So I was just making excuses. I know it. I know it. I know what I needed to do. And I was slacking because, you know, I'm not, I haven't shot professionally for anyone other than myself in 4 years. Right. So, you know, I don't have to be in peak shape because I'm shooting for my own stuff, whatever. And then I like woke up one day and I was like, you know what? This is bullshit. You know, you need to get your shit together, not just on the outside, but on the inside. So because every, you know, what you do does affect how you feel, your health inside and outside. So I am back on the wagon and I hate the fact that I'm even measuring. Like, I'm like, I asked my trainer, Nick, I'm like, seriously, grams? Like, who the fuck does grams? Like 90 grams of chicken. I go, what the fuck is 90 grams of chicken? Like, please tell me. I'm fucking annoyed right now. Okay, I'm annoyed. And I go, and this isn't enough food. I'm going to be hungry. He's like, once you master this, like for a week, like, no, I'm just going to add 100 grams of chicken because the chicken, I could probably use some meat on my bones right now because I'm getting, I feel like I'm skinny fat right now. It's pissing me off. So I need muscle. But anyway, so yeah, I have Nick 4 days a week. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
so it's good. And I'm back in where I used, like, on the same mindset. Like, okay, you know, you eating is healthy. You can't just, like, run around all day and forget to eat. You know, it's important, so.
It is important.
Yeah, I'm hopping back on.
Good. And talking about muscle and feeling like a badass, let's talk about the UFC and what you've got going on and how MMA is important to you. Let's talk about that.
Yes, I love mixed martial arts. I have a little one and she's all in. She's actually there. I'm waiting. I want to text them and say, like, I didn't, like, sometimes the, well, yesterday she comes home, she goes, the one day you don't cook, you know, and I don't, we don't pick up any dinner on the way home. And I felt bad. I'm like, shoot, you know, so I am going to text them. I'm so, just to let them know, but she does it like, oh my God, 4 or 5 days a week. I'm just telling them, pick up dinner in podcast till six, they in case they forgot. So she does it 4 days a week, actually like 5 days. She loves it. She does jujitsu. And so for me, I wanted to become a little bit more familiar with the sport. So met up with Julian a few years ago and I said, I'm going to do a podcast. You're kind of funny. You're not fighting, but you were a UFC fighter. You did, you want to co-host? And he's like, yeah. So we're just kind of like messing around with it. And then I was like, okay, this is a lot of time just to be messing around and not doing anything.
Yeah.
Let's get serious. So right now we're rebranding. So our new name, we've got that. We're working on our logo, which is super cool. I want to, well, I don't even know if you can see it, but.
Yeah, so, let me see it.
Yeah, this is a like potential. I'm like, I'm not sure if I like it. We'll see. This
I
is
do
just
like that.
This is just the first one. So we're rebranding. We're going to be doing in Vegas. We are going to have guests on. So it's going to be a well-oiled machine. It's just baby steps. So yeah, we're working.
Well, you know, we're getting ready to go through a rebrand too in our company. Ooh. I'm going to announce it to the employees on April 11th. And I usually do all our TV commercials, but we're bringing in a female spokeswoman to help lead on that, right?
Congrats.
Girl power. Yep. And it's going to be more of a soft approach. And I think it's important because we're trying to take the company public. So we're trying to take a different stance of what we're doing. But I love rebranding because you get excited again.
You
right?
do.
You get rejuvenated.
You do. Yes, absolutely. So
How old's your daughter that's doing jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, she's 10. So she's, she's a badass. I mean, we're pretty sure she sprained her ankle and walked on it for 2 days and had no clue. And I'm like, the thing is the size of a bowling, like, what the hell? What do you mean? She's like, I don't know. You know, so she just really doesn't cry. She's just, I'm like, you can cry. She's like, I'm fine. Like, just, I don't know. Maybe we need to ice it, wrap it. I think, you know, she is, definitely takes after my hubby. Kind of just very, doesn't sugarcoat anything, very unfiltered. And she's just a tough kid. I mean, and she loves it. So we just took her we went to Columbus for the one that was in Columbus last weekend. So, and a friend and her dad, and it was fun. So she likes going, meeting the fighters and hanging out. So it's cool. It's fun for her.
So besides your co-host, which is probably one of your favorite fighters, who are like your top three fighters you like to watch fight?
Oh my gosh. Well, if my friend Juan Archuleta, he's in Bellator. I think he's got a fight coming up, but Bellator does theirs a little bit different where they have more space in between. So of course, Juan Archuleta, I love Eric Anders. He's a UFC fighter as well. He's I don't know if he's got something coming up, but it's hard because I'm biased. These are my friends. So of course, you know, and I love Misha Tate. She's so cool. She's such an inspiration and a role model for women in sports, like everywhere. So I love her.
Agreed. Yeah. What did you think of the last big fight? I think it was last month where those two guys that hated each other.
Yes, Masvidal and Colby Covington.
What's your take on that fight?
So I pretty much knew that Covington was going to win. I mean, there was a lot of animosity, and I think Covington is more well-rounded as a fighter. You know, he has a ground game. He punches hard, you know, and his stand-up's good. He can change levels. He's just a better fighter overall. So I knew that that was going to happen. I just didn't know the aftermath. Like, right, there's all this crap that's happening after where, you know, Masvidal sucker punched him and now it's this legal thing. I just think, like, come on, you lost. Suck it up. Stop saying, like, I respect Masvidal, like, or I respected him. I kind of lost a little respect when you say, you know, wasn't my day type thing. No, dude, you got out fought. Like, you didn't win. You weren't the better man that day. As long as you're going to be fighting Covington, you're not going to be the better fighter, period. He's just a better fighter. So just suck it up and say that. Stop, like, making excuses, which pissed me off. So, yeah.
And I would agree. I love the confidence Covington has.
I do too. He is like, wow. But did you hear the press conference before? They were going at it. Dana White couldn't even talk. I mean, he's calling him a dick sniffer. I mean, it was insane. Like, I was dying. I love that though. I love it. It just, it amps it up. So I was really looking forward to watching them fight, even though I pretty much knew the outcome. So
yeah. I felt the same way. Yeah. What is your opinion on that? Is a real animosity. There's real issues there. But some of these times it's not real. What's your take on, like, let's go back to McGregor and Mayweather.
Okay. So, I mean, McGregor, he is just the best entertainer to ever come into UFC. Right. So even the memes, right, that McGregor came up with the Will Smith, Chris, Rock thing or whatever, what were fantastic. Like, his were my favorite. So to me, like, he is the best salesman, entertainer. You know, he might not be the best fighter, okay, because he's not. However, he's extremely talented, and he's made UFC what it is today, right? He's changed it. It's entertainment. It's exciting. So, you know, some of it's real, some of it's not with him, but you can't really tell. He's just good at selling it, so.
That brings me back to Mayweather. I remember when Mayweather, and he's a Detroit, grew up in Michigan as well. He's a Michigan dude. He used to be Pretty Boy Floyd. Do you remember that? Yeah. And so a lot of people don't. So he was Pretty Boy Floyd. He was like 21-0. He was a champ.
Okay.
He was very passive. He didn't have a big personality. Everybody thought he was just this cute kid that was the champ. And he went and rebranded. Jamie Foxx talked about it on Joe Rogan's podcast 2 years ago. He decided to make himself a villain. He decided to create this Money Mayweather personality to get people to hate him, to get more sales.
It worked.
And he's a fucking genius. Yes. And he continues to double down on that. Like fighting Jake Paul or whatever, one of the Paul brothers. Like, it's just about money. It's crazy smart.
I don't know if it was Jake or Logan. I think
it was Logan.
It was Logan, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know Floyd personally or anything like that. However, whatever he's doing, or, you know, he has all these, you know, these gyms, and he's a businessman. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to love you or they're going to hate you, but they will watch you, right?
Yeah,
so that's right. The thing. So that's just kind of history, right? There's always a villain, you know, or a heel when it comes to WWE, right? So I like that. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, because at the end of the day, we're all entertainers, right?
Yeah.
We're, you know, we have a craft, but we also have to sell it to people, right? To want to watch us.
I agree. What do you got next coming up in the next couple of years for you? I know you talked about the rebrand of the podcast, but how do you see, what's the vision for Kendra here the next couple of years?
Well, you know, at this point, I really want to take the podcast to the next level, and we will. It will happen. So I'm excited about that whole rebranding. I continue to do my OnlyFans, and it is honestly, I It's fantastic. It is.
It's a great platform to get reoccurring revenue. It makes sense.
Amazing.
Why should somebody else sell your stuff and you don't make money? It makes zero sense.
Yeah, it's really great. So that is that. And then I did touch upon it a little bit. That I think NFT crypto, everyone has to get in it somehow, learn about it. And I'm learning as I go. But, you know, it's a long process, you know, if you want it done right. And I'm working with a great team. So we're slowly but surely. I haven't really even said anything to anybody about it, but NFT, that's in the works. My website is also, that's being redone. I think it's just, I need a change, and I need everything to be streamlined to one platform everywhere, right? And I want to be able to do what I want with it and not have to succumb to, you know, credit card billing company or this, you know, I want to be able to do everything I want to do. I want to own it, logo, everything. So, and then, you know, marijuana business right now, the market's pretty slow.
That's
right?
A booming business though, still.
It is. And I'm thinking right now I have a company interested, and it, you know, people say, oh, we'll give you a commission or a thing. That's a pain in the ass. How about license my name for the duration? And there you go. So how about that?
So me and Rick, we're really close. You know, he's like my brother. If you talk to him, he'll be like, dude, Jason's my brother.
He did. I thought you really was. I was like, oh my God.
Here's how we met. So Dino Rotondo manages Sussman Agency, who does all our TV commercials and stuff, nice. And buys our ads nationwide. And he knew I had this podcast that exploded that I do part-time just for fun. But it actually makes money, but I do it for
fun.
And I get a call and he's like, hey, you know, you want to meet White Boy Rick? And I'm living in Michigan at the time. Like, who the fuck is White Boy Rick?
Yeah.
He's like, you've never seen the movie? I said, no, it sounds fucking weird. He's like, watch the movie. So I watch the movie. I'm like, holy shit, I got to meet this guy. So we go to Bella Piatti right there in Birmingham because Nino's a good friend of mine. So we go there and we sit down and I meet him for the first time. Supposed to be an hour dinner. I'm there 6.5 hours.
He is so fun.
We end up like just being like brothers talking. And then I had this huge party. I used to throw these big parties in Birmingham, big pool parties and bring everybody together. And so I invited him. And I remember my wife and kids and my kids were super excited. Like, that's White Boy Rick because they go to school and they hear about him. But my wife's like, well, you're inviting to the house. I'm like, yeah, half of me is a little nervous. The other half isn't, right? Let's see what happens. He came over. He brought me this painting. We ended up talking for a few hours. I had Barry Sanders come over. He's the biggest Barry Sanders fan. Barry Sanders signed something for him. We just hit it off. He's traveled with my family. He is family, right?
He is, yeah.
But he asked me about business. He's like, you know what? I'm trying to get the marijuana business. And I told him, we were having a conversation. I said, your name is so vibrant right now, especially in Michigan. Mm-hmm. You should find a way to sell your name. You should put your name on something and sell it. And that's what you do. And I think, and he's doing well. Yeah. Like he throws some things. Hey, this is the agreement. Yeah. What do you think? And I'm like, negotiate. You should do the same. I could see people buying the shit out of Kendra Lust, you know, doobies or whatever. Like, that would fucking crush it.
Yeah. So, like I said, I had a nice proposal from a company local. It was a friend of a friend. And I understand it's the friend is actually kind of like a cousin, brother type to me. And I'm thinking, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's still business. And that's not enough, in my opinion. So I'm going to bring another proposal. Well, I'm going to counter actually, because I haven't really even said no. I've just kind of let it chill for a bit just because I haven't had time. But yeah, but I think that would be the smartest way. And then every month, you know, you just up your monthly, right? And then you don't have to worry about the little stuff. So I don't know, just an idea.
But that's what's cool. When you build a brand or a name that people admire or want to be, and there's no such thing as bad press. You know, people want to have it. They don't want just, you know, this cup of coffee. I want Starbucks, right?
Yeah.
They want a name and a brand with something. And you've got a great brand. And Rick is building his brand.
Yeah,
right?
I'm excited for him. And it's like, I don't really ask him about it just because, honestly, I'm just at like medicinal. Right. So I only have like 72 plants that I have myself. Okay. And then this company is a commercial grow, you know, and Warren. And it's like, I have somebody that I pay to kind of do all of the feeding, like all the other tedious shit that I don't know anything about. Right. So it's nice, but the market sucks right now, but it'll bounce back. There's a lot of people that will fall off, but I mean, I could ask Rick about questions, but the thing is, I'm not like, he's not probably not tending to it. He's got his stuff.
He
and
just
I,
sold
I
his name. He gets a salary.
Awesome.
He gets a salary and then they label it Eighth Amendment White Boy Rick. and he gets a percentage.
That's great. Yeah.
Of what that is. And it's fantastic. And every month it just goes up.
I love it. Yeah. And then they can do more. Like, well, I'm sure he already knows that.
They can make other things.
Do certain specific strains, merch. Like, there, you know, it's endless. And I guess I have to ask, though, I'm wondering how all that works, right? So it's all Michigan-based, though. You can't, like, ship, because of those.
So that's the thing. The company he's with, which is Pleasantries, I think they partnered with somebody else, and they're trying to go public, and they're in other states. But he's getting ready to try to offer his brand in other states. Because this is exclusive here, I believe in his contracts. We talked about it, and I believe his attorney set him up. But this is exclusive here. But if he wants to sell it in Nevada, he could put his name on Nevada products. And somebody will pay for the name brand, because all these people that are making product, right?
Yeah.
They're like, how do I get an edge on the other guy? Well, if I put this name on it and charge $1, $2, $3 more and share that profit, it's a win-win, because I'm gaining more. The profit might be less, but more equals, you know, you're winning. So that's kind of the math and the science behind it.
Makes sense.
I think, like, someone like yourself, Rick, people out there that can really get it. And some of these athletes get in, but I still don't think they can carry the stick that a you or Rick would carry in this game.
Yeah, I think a blunt that said, put your lips around this or something like that, right?
Yes, okay? Or with, like, your picture. And
with my
absolutely.
Lips, because my lips are going to be trademarked. Like, I'm working on some shit. So, I'm excited.
Think like that. That is how you really capitalize on that. And there's nothing wrong with that industry. Like, I'm a fan of the industry. I know it used to be, and I was one of the biggest anti-weed guys, like, 8 years ago. Like, no
really?
Way. I was. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, so when I grew up in high school, I didn't ever really do drugs. I got kicked out of, like, I went to 14 schools. I didn't go to college. I didn't finish high school.
Okay.
I had a kid in my teens, built all these companies, tried to walk a straight arrow. I had a hot temper, got in a lot of fights, and was very fucking mouthy. But I was my own boss. I built things up, built three companies, very successful. And I remember everybody around me who was doing drugs in high school. I've got five best friends, four are dead. It's crazy. Yeah.
Sucks.
Heroin, pills, whatever the fuck they did. I always stayed away from it. I was around people
did
shit.
Yeah.
So then marijuana, I'm like, okay, I never really smoked weed as a kid. Let me try it a few times as an adult. So the first time that I really smoked weed as an adult, I started tripping. We were watching the, what's the guy, the comedian out of Atlanta. And
is it not Cat Williams?
It is Cat Williams. When it first came out, and he's like, Insurgents. I don't even know what the fuck insurgents are, right? Right. And you get up and get the cereal. Baby's all mad. I'm getting cereal. That whole thing. So I decided I took a can. My wife's like, you're going to switch. She was a fucking pothead when I met her. And I was like, hey, you want to be me? You got to quit that shit, right? I was young. So then.
It's okay.
We get into this and we're married, and she's like, yeah, let's try this. And, you know, this is like 2009, right? 2008. I'm like, all right, yeah, we'll try it. So I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I had a can, and I poked all these holes in a can and put the marijuana on there, and I lit it, and I started inhaling it. I'm like, I don't feel nothing. And I did that about 35 times. And then she did it a few times, and all of a sudden it hit me. And I had every emotion. You've seen Wolf of Wall Street, and he goes through all those things.
Yes.
The only thing I didn't have was cerebral palsy and drooling. I was crying. I was laughing.
There's your empathy.
I was paranoid. I was like, what the fuck? And everything kept repeating. I was losing my mind, where I'm like, I'm never going to do it again. Fast forward about 9 years.
Okay.
I'm friends with a couple NFL players. They do that shit all the time. I had no idea. I'm like, don't you guys get biz tests? They're like, no, like, we get told 40 days ahead. I'm like, holy shit. So I decided to try the edibles in Michigan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First couple times was okay. Next time is, I'm like, what is wrong with me? What's going on? I'm losing my mind. One of my buddies gave me a 50. I thought it was a 10.
Holy,
I'm vomiting for 3 hours. My wife's FaceTiming like, hey, come get this motherfucker. He's staying with you, right? So all this shit's going on. It's rough. I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not built for this shit. But my oldest daughter, who's 23, has major anxiety. And I don't want her taking Klonopins or things like that. And I don't want her drinking all the time. I drink socially. I don't have a problem drinking.
Sure.
But marijuana, over time, me learning about it, learning the business, paying attention to it, thought about investing in it. It is, dude, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm a big fan. I'd rather my kids, if they're going to pick something for anxiety or anything, I'd rather them do marijuana 10 out of 10 rather than drink or pop a pill. 10 out of 10. And so I'm a fan, and I think it has a purpose.
I
think some people abuse it. And that's unfortunate, but I totally get it. And I'm a fan, and I'm one that has changed. And I shared that with Rick. I was literally did a 180 where I'm like, look, it adds a lot of value to people.
It does. You know, working as a nurse, I did hospice the last, 2006 to 2009. And, you know, that was really game changing for a lot of the patients. It really was, you know, as far as especially, I mean, somebody who's terminal, right? So it's, you know, they're worried that, you know, they can't breathe. So it helps to just kind of relax them. It didn't necessarily slow their bleed, but definitely anxiety opposed to like popping a pill, especially like even in these elderly patients, because they don't metabolize the medicine the same, right? And then a lot of them have the misconception about becoming addicted. I mean, they're so sweet, you know, and you kind of have to like respect what they think and their mentality. So the physician that I worked with would prescribe that when needed. So it has a purpose. And I just think everything in moderation, right? You can't that's life. A good, I mean, except for like hardcore drugs, like, okay, no, you can't moderate that shit. Like, just don't do it. Okay. Yeah. Is there, you know, especially these, what they're doing these days. I just read an article, and I try to not to read too much news, but you know, they were worried about fentanyl, right? And how it's killing kids, right?
Yes.
Now there's this thing called ISO. It's late abbreviation. And it, I guess it's, you thought fentanyl was strong. This is, if it comes in contact with someone, they can overdose, and Narcan doesn't work for it. It's coming from China, coming to Mexico, coming into the United States. So, you know,
so
hey, yeah. So you know what? I'm with you on that. You know, toke up.
Yeah. Get the natural stuff and go buy Kendra's version or buy Rick's version.
There you go. Mine's not even there. Get Rick's for now.
It's coming though. It's coming. Yeah. I believe it's going to come. So you talked about, before we wrap up here, you started doing your own internal filming instead of going back the way you used to do it. What that's becoming an entrepreneur and running your own business and your own growth there. Talk about that transition.
So it was 2000, oh my gosh, 19, 20, yeah, about 4 years ago. Okay. So right about when I stopped filming for anybody else, I was introduced to the platform that I spoke about, the OnlyFans. And I thought, well, I have to do all this, you know, the editing and all, you know, I just don't know that I'm going to be able to do five people's jobs. Right.
Yeah.
And to be able to be successful at it. So what I did was I tried to do it myself for a month, took my stats, my analytics, like, you know, and compared it to having help with my production and, you know, a videographer, editor. And once I saw the change, you know, once we put the content out, it was definitely more worth it. So it's essentially you're running your own thing, and you don't even have to have like a videographer. You don't have to do anything professional. You could do all your own stuff, like amateur, however you want to run your account it's up to you because you own it, right? You can do whatever you want with it. So it's really nice because it allows a lot of people to run their own platform, develop their own style, I guess. And then what I decided to do is to help other girls, like, or if people come to me, or I may reach out to girls to refer them, and then help them kind of get set up with people who can kind of help them with some of their production stuff. Cause that's the hardest part, is just editing stuff and getting the promotional stuff out there. So, so it's helped, and it's, you know, it is nice. I like it. So.
Good. Well, I always aspire. People are scared for change, right? People are scared to take a chance. And we talked about confidence, but it's also too many people in life play it safe. They play to not lose rather than playing to win. And you took an opportunity here and transitioned and played to win something for yourself. You took a risk. And a lot of folks out there, listeners and viewers, they get scared to take a risk. They're in a dead end job. They're not doing what they want to do. They're scared of what people may think of them if they do something else.
Yeah.
They're scared of failing. They're scared of the letdown. They're scared of the judgment. There's so many factors that that really dictate people's lives. It's sad because they only get one life. You get one opportunity to live your best life for you, not for anybody else. For you, and people seem to forget that.
I completely agree with that. I think though I think it sounds easier than what it is, because, you know, if maybe I didn't have the support of my husband to be able to make the transition to say, I'm just going to do everything myself. Or, and I have to give a huge shout out to Johnny Castle, AKA Rocco's his name. He is really, really him, and Grant and, gosh, Mandy, and I can't even, Jamie, Morgan, okay, Audrey, all of these people who have really kind of helped me. So thank all, I really owe them a lot because they've helped me to kind of take that chance because I wasn't going to. I'm like, I don't know. You know, it is scary. So, and a lot of people don't have the luxury of having maybe a little nest egg or the support, you know, so it is scary and it's, mm-hmm. you know, but I think one of the biggest things that people do that I wish I would have learned a long time ago is to not worry so much or live by the rules of like what your parents think you should do or, right. you know, at the end of the day, because I feel, you know, you kind of live in prison, you know, mm-hmm. right? If you're living by everybody else's rules and you're doing things because you feel you're doing it to please other people and you're dying inside or you're sad. I'm not saying like go break the law and be a freaking outlaw, like don't be an asshole, okay? Or, you know, some dumb shit, but just, you know, you should like be passionate about whatever it is that you're going to do. If you want to do hair, like cosmetology, like whatever you're passionate about, you know, and I think that we're just too worried about everybody else. And I think we grow out of that as we get older.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I always tell our little one, like, I don't care what you are in life. If you choose to be a fighter, if you choose to be a ballerina, like, she's like, that'll never happen. I don't care.
Yeah.
We want you happy and healthy and a good person and be kind and, you know, don't do drugs and just, you know, I know you're going to follow most of the rules. Some are meant to be broken. I get it. But just, you know, don't have the police bring you home, okay? Because your dad will kill you. You know, but just, you know, at the end of the day, just like be a good person. But
good, good. Well, thank you, Kendra. And go blue, right? Bam!